Let's count it. So, Sushi Samba, Mod 32, Dream, yeah. Drift, Azure Beach, and another 40, 50 events. Yeah, yeah. We're back in Dubai Stars, and today my star is a fellow Lebanese, someone that I am very proud of, Serge Tfouni.
Hello, guys.
First of all, thanks a lot for coming on the show. That's the first podcast that Serge ever does, so we are super flattered to have him on board. Serge is a co-founder in the Sunset Hospitality, that are the biggest group in UAE and the Gulf, and I'm sure very soon in the world.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great company. We started back in 2010.
Stop. Before the company. Okay. We are here to know who you are, how did you came to Dubai, and why Dubai?
Yeah. Okay, well, I came to Dubai because, I mean, like everybody knows, and who doesn't know, I come from Lebanon, I come from Beirut, right? And then back then, there was not really so much opportunities, and then the entire country was... under pressure from politically, etc., economically. So I felt like I'm stuck there, and the only way to do something in my life is to go out of Lebanon. This is where I started thinking about Dubai, because Dubai was really advertising back then. Every time you look in the TV, you see Burj Al Arab. Back then, you know, you see the Emirates Towers, etc. So I was like, this is where I want to be. So...
Which year was this?
It was back in 2003.
Wow.
So it's totally different than from why people come today, because of it's tax-free, because of the money. Back then it was different for me. It was, you know, it was almost 20 years ago. So the idea for me to come is just because I felt that Dubai is a land of opportunity. It's something new. It's a metropolitan city, so that was for me 20 years ago why I came here. That's basically it. It was a quick decision. I woke up one day, I said, enough is enough.
Fuck it, I'm
traveling. I'm done with Lebanon. I need something new in my life, and then I took a decision. Actually, it came to me. I was at the church. In a church in Marsharbil, and then I was just praying, and then I swear to God, out of a sudden, three times, I don't know if it's a vision or if it's something, a word came to my mind, saying Dubai. So I was like, is it really happening, or I'm just dreaming, or I'm just fantasizing? So I went home, and then I spoke to my parents. I told them, you know, this happened to me that day, you know. I mean, it was very clear. And then it's not like I knew much about Dubai. It's not like I knew someone going there. It just came to me out of nowhere. Yes, I was working in a company back then called Azadeya. And then, of course, I was hearing back then that, you know, Dubai is doing very well. I mean, see how old is the story. Wafi Mall was like really a good mall.
And then
Deira City Center opened, and then the entire world was talking about Deira City Center, you know, like Deira City Center is killing it. And then we were always checking numbers worldwide and always seeing, okay, Zara Deira City Center did a new record, etc. So maybe this is what I started thinking, this is a place to be, you know. Mm. It's like a big city, everybody's talking about it, economically it's doing well, the city's booming, the country's booming. The eyes are getting towards Dubai. So I started thinking, maybe it's time for me to look to, I mean, to leave the country and then go venture into a new, So that was basically the idea.
Yeah, that's like how you came here.
Okay, yeah.
Very well funded.
Yeah.
Lots of cash.
That's really interesting, you know. I really decided, and then I was using all my network to ask them, I want to go to Dubai, okay? So then I took a position in Azadeya as assistant store manager, okay? And then they told me at the beginning, we have to try you in Sharjah, and then if you prove yourself, we're going to take you back to Dubai.
If you can survive, you can go to
Dubai. So I was like, you know, no, I don't want Sharjah, blah, 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 I don't like it, etc. But then, you know, that was the only opportunity in place. And then really it's a really funny story. So I was working as back then as like a logistics / inventory control, etc. So it was like a office job, okay, on a computer, etc. And then the opportunity that came on hand back then was if I work in the store as like a, you know, assistant store manager or store manager. So to go there, because I was desperate to leave the country, I met a guy. He was a brand manager of a certain brand. And then he told me, listen, Serge, if you want to go to Dubai, I'm fine. But then you have to start from scratch. Okay? So I told him, okay, fine. I'm willing to do so. He said he will start your training. And then your training as assistant manager will start in the warehouse. I was like, what? He was like, yes, you start in the warehouse. So you will help the, you know, the housekeeper opening the boxes, etc., putting alarm, etc. And then if you prove yourself there, then you can talk next steps. So the guy, I think, expected that he's going to put me there and then I'm going to maybe not last more than 2 days. So I went there, I started in the warehouse, etc. I became really good friends with the housekeepers, you know. The truck comes, I go help them bringing the boxes, etc. I open up the boxes, I remove the clothes, I put alarm, etc. 1-2 weeks, I was the faster in putting alarm among all the housekeepers. So the brand manager was going, you know, back and forth and then saying, fuck what this guy is doing. You know, this is crazy. He told me I didn't take you seriously, that someone working in an office might go and then do the job. He said, but every time I was going there and they see how serious you are, like taking your job so seriously and putting all those alarms, etc., and then helping your fellow housekeepers, this is where I felt that you really have potential and you really want to do something, you really want to accomplish something. So then he took me off and then he started to teach me, you know, how to do the merchandising, being a cashier, leading the team, etc. This is how I got my first chance to come to Sharjah. And then less than 6 months, I was promoted to a store manager in Burj Oman Center. So this is when finally I got to go to Dubai and then pursue my dream. And then what I've done there in order to, I mean, I can say I was very hungry. I really wanted to succeed, yeah? I really wanted to reach somewhere, yeah? I come like from a very, you know, I would say normal family in Lebanon, and then the mentality was not really helping. So I realized that if I really want to achieve something in my life, I have to forget everything I learned. I have to change my mindset.
I'll learn again.
Yeah, and then I have to do things that I've never done before, or no one ever has done it in my own family. Yeah. So I started working differently actually, because when I started, we had so many branches, right, and so many store managers, and then I felt like unwelcome, yeah? Like, who's this new guy, etc., coming in here thinking that he's best than anyone else, blah, blah, blah. So I wasn't really focusing on that. Rather than being competing with them, I stepped back and I said, what is the way to really succeed and then get their trust and confidence and then get them to like me? So I started to working differently. I started to be very supportive to them. Yeah, I didn't really take the approach that I'm a manager and you're a manager, so you're my equal. No, I made them feel that I want to learn from them. You know, I'm not equal. You're better than me. And then I was little by little supporting them more than they supporting me. You know, back then it was like, you know, everyone has a different forecast and everyone had to, for example, if someone needs a certain items, normally if you ask from another brand, they tell you we don't have it in stock. Why? Because everyone wants to sell. I was doing differently.
That's so annoying, by the way. I hate it.
I hate this. I was like, no, I'm supporting. You know what? I have the last piece. I'm going to send it to you. And I've done it not out of thinking that this is going to get me anywhere. I've done it because I just wanted to be helpful, supportive, and then I wanted to gain the trust. And then how it helped me without even thinking about it back then is that the brand manager have seen it, have noticed that how I'm supporting other managers, and then how I'm gaining their confidence, and then how I'm gaining popularity, and how they are speaking highly of me just because I took this approach, easy approach, you know, down to earth. And then he told me, I want to promote you to a brand manager because you have the capability to work with the team. You already shown how you could turn things around. I know you're not ready yet, but I see you already there. And then we're going to have to go now through your leadership, mindset, etc., to work on your skills. And this is how it started. And in no time, I became brand manager, then senior brand manager, then taking care of 11 countries, having a huge team, taking care of the opening of the stores, merchandising of the stores, traveling all over the world to choose the collections, etc.
Living the life.
Yeah, living the life.
It was the first breakthrough. Yeah.
And it all came from one thing at the beginning, the hungry to do something, the hunger to accomplish something. I mean, I can't explain how I had superpowers, like really strong energy, and then I had to deploy it in the right place. That was the real, I would say, fuel that was pushing me to move forward, and then next. You know, when I started traveling, when I started to be really, really successful at my job, etc., I started to get, of course, much more opportunities, etc. So this is where the owner of Azadeh Group, one of the owners, I don't want to mention really names, but he approached me and he told me, Serge, we want you for something much bigger. Back then, I didn't really see it in me. He told me, okay, listen, we opened this concept called Virgin Megastore. And then, things are changing, and then today we are a concept out of, we sell music and videos, etc. We start selling electronics, but we see the music and, the CD business and DVD business is dying, and then, you know, we want to add something new. I told him, what exactly?
And iPods?
That was not so long ago. It was 2007. But still, you know, back then it was things were like shifting from, for example, having a CD into maybe having an iPod.
Back then. And so first, it was started MP3 to go players, digital. Yeah. Then,
and then, of course, things were started to slow down. And then they had all these great locations all over the malls. And then they approached me and they told me, we wanna since you have experience in fashion, and also had experience as well in some jewelry, some like. Gadgets, etc., because I worked in many different brands along the way. I told him, okay, what exactly do you want from me? Because I have no clue about Virgin. You guys are in electronics, and then for me, I'm like purely fashion, you know, a background, and I have fashion experience. I don't know how I can add value. He told me, you can. I see it in you. We like what you've done so far, and we want you to bring in new products for Virgin Megastore, something like, I don't know, gadgets, maybe some toys, maybe some stationery, that we try to, we want to shift the mindset of people from thinking about Virgin Megastore as an electronic / DVD, CD store into a lifestyle store. We want people to come, the family to come, and then to be able to buy many different things. And so we are able to cater to many different segments. I was scared to hell. You know, I was like, you know, I mean, what the fuck, you know? Are they for real? I don't know anything, you know? I was really scared, you know, back then. So I told him, listen, I thought about it, and I don't think it's a good idea. You know, I really went to Virgin. I visited the stores. I didn't feel myself there. I don't know exactly how to do it, etc. And I don't think it's for me. You know, I prefer to remain, to focus. Then he told me, okay, let's go have lunch. And then let's really discuss into details. What is it that you think you cannot do it? So I sat with him, and then he really helped me in a sense of telling me, listen, I don't expect anything from you. All I want from you is spend time. And then he guided me a little bit. He told me, listen, you can travel all over the world. We can finance this. You can check what kind of exhibitions are available out there. And then think what type of products we can bring in. So he like kind of break it down for me at the beginning. Okay, he told me, so do this job at the beginning. And then we'll see where this will lead. So this is where I started to have a little bit of confidence, because it wasn't like I had to jump into a new venture and didn't really know what to do. I knew that at least I have a starting point. And then from this starting point, I had a sort of a confidence that, okay, I can do this. Because I've done it before for a couple of jewelry exhibitions. So I've taken an approach whereby I was going and then attending trade shows that are related to gadgets, stationery, like funky, quirky products, licensed. I went really into the license world. And then quickly things started to come to me, and then the vision was very clear. And then they were like very surprised, you know. And then I came back to them with many ideas that for them back then was like, supportive to the business, and they didn't really quite expect it that I might come with. So I told them, okay, listen, I've done those few exhibitions, and now clearly I know that, because I studied the demographic of Virgin, and I know what type of clientele are coming there. So let's open up a concept. I don't want to do just bringing products and dump them there. What I really, if you want me to, for my experience, I would say let's create a concept. Let's create a furniture, a brand name, and then let's launch it within Virgin. And then within this concept, we'll bring everything together. We'll bring the licensed products, we'll bring the gadgets, we'll bring the toys, etc. We'll put them there, and then we'll push it. So there they were a little bit, no, this is not what we really want, etc. So I was like really sticking, this is the only way to do it, because if you do it the other way around, it will not work. And you know, as it's a big company, and then you know they need many different approvers, they didn't really go by what I've said. They said, okay, let's start with bringing products, and then we'll see later what we do. One of them, okay, fine. And then he told me, okay, listen, the first year I want from you to make $1 million, and then let's put a plan. In 5 years, we have to hit $5 million. Okay, fine, let's do so. So I started doing the job, I started building the team, etc. And then the first year, we've done $2 million. The second year, $5 million. And this is when I went to him and I told him, I want my concept. He told me, done deal. So he signed for me to do a concept. This is when I went on, you know, like meeting interior designers, meeting companies from Germany, from the UK. I told them I don't want to work with anyone local. I want to go with someone who has experience, someone who can be able to bring value, yeah, and experience and know-how and knowledge. So they approved everything. This is when I went to Germany. I started to do exhibitions to identify a really good, solid partner. And I find a company, also I don't want to mention names, they were really, really good. So we decided to open something called Redbox. So we started working on the designs, etc. Long story short, we ended up doing $30 million in sales in less than 5 years. Wow. And then, that was the successful story that, I feel proud, because still today, I think maybe they do over $100 million of something I created alone from scratch.
You're not taking royalty.
No, I'm not taking royalty.
What a shame.
Which takes me why I left the 9-to-5 job. It's because, you know, I've been promised a lot back then. Yeah, you're great. You have a vision. You're a leader. You're a natural. You're this, you're that. But then, okay.
You couldn't deposit this in the bank. You couldn't cash it out.
How does that help me? And then, you know, they gave me so many empty promises, like, yeah, you know, we're going to give you a partnership, we're going to give you a revenue share, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. And then, you know, after a while, I realized that I'm a number. And then no matter how time, effort, energy, experience I'm going to do, I'm going to remain, this is the ceiling, this is your salary, this is your, et cetera. So this is when I decided, you know what, if you could be successful, if you could do something with them, then you know you could do something for your own. So this is when I ventured into the funny thing is it wasn't planned at all. Yeah, it was like a complete, I would say, you know, coincidence. But also, I think that I did attract it to me because I was still very hungry. I was still like, you know, this is not enough. Now I have to move from being an employee to being an employer and then have freedom for myself and build something for myself. Okay, so the hunger was still there. It was still strong. So by chance, you know, I have a very good friend that he had a club in Seychelles, very successful. I went a few times to him. We had fun, etc. And then the guy decides one day to sell his club and then come to Dubai. Yeah, so he came to Dubai, and he had a partner from Canada. And then this partner had a really very, very good experience in the clubbing business / hospitality restaurant business in Canada and the US. So they came and they want to open up a club. Yeah, they reach out to me like, can you help us to find location? You're working in Virgin, you have a network, you know, you might help us to, you know, to get those clubbers, etc. So I was like, you know, helping a friend. It wasn't like more than this in my mind. So we started. I started helping them. We find a location, etc. We, you know, they took the location. They started planning for the opening, etc. For the name. This is when my best friend came and he said, you know, the year I stayed in Dubai, looking for this place. I mean, I spent all my money because, you know, he went on living the lavishing life of Dubai, at clubbing, spending money, buying cars, renting penthouses, etc. You know, and then he spent most of his money and said, you know, that's the situation. So my partner today, who was a stranger back then, came up to me and saying, okay, look, I'm in a really bad situation now. I'm alone and I need a partner. Can you help me find an investor? Can you help me do this? So it came to my mind, you know, like I told him, I want to be part of it. He told me, are you sure? I said, yes. So I took all my savings and we had like some land in Lebanon. We sold it out. And then I went on taking a loan for 450,000 dirhams from the bank just to gather all this money and then go all in with him in the investment. So I could partner with him 50-50, and then we ventured into this. Back then, you know, I mean, after the first year of really trying to work on the club, it didn't do well. You know, it was really going from bad to worse. And
Which year was this?
2010. So We're talking about here maybe towards end of 2010. We, you know, we started to be in debt and we start to worry and we start thinking, okay, what's plan B, you know, what to do, etc. We were really desperate. We don't know what to do. And then I had a friend working there as a security. He was sitting on the pool one day and then he met an Egyptian guy. And then he was explaining to him, yeah, you know, my friend who's my employer, etc. Open up this club. They're not doing well, etc. You know, and yeah, so he told him, oh, you know, I might help them. I'm a promoter. I promote. I'm working into the Khaliji business. So I promote. I take clubs. I promote them, and then I bring on my customers, etc. So he came. He told us, you know, let's have this meeting. So we met this guy, and then the guy came, checked the venue. Perfect. This is amazing, etc. I like it. I would like to partner with you. And then I promise you that from the first week, I'm gonna fill pack this place, etc. And me and my partner were looking at each other like, not really taking him seriously, yeah. But you know, and then we said, you know what, we have nothing to lose, so let's give it a try. So we gave it a try. Okay, so that's, I'm telling you, after trying everything, Iranian night, Russian night, English night, I don't know, I tried everything back, the Filipino night, nothing really worked, yeah. English was really, so we were desperate. And then this guy came, we were like, promote another story, you know, let's do it. So we started the first night, there was queues. People were all over the place. We couldn't believe what's going on. And from that day onwards, the place was booked day in, day out, every week, each week, every month, every year. So we realized that the market is hungry for, I mean, if you think about it, we do live in a, I mean, we do live in GCC, right? We do live in the heart of the Gulf. And then whom else than the Emiratis and the Saudis and the Qataris and the Kuwaitis, you know? There are also those people that have their own culture, they have their own music, they have their own outing, you know? So it was something that we've never thought of, but it was really something there, yeah? So we started building on it. And then we became the company catering for the Khaliji clubs, and then we were number one. We were doing phenomenal numbers, yeah, phenomenal figures. We became the leaders in this industry. And we started going from one place to another. We had this one place open, another place. We had opened the third place, and then we became predominantly the number one, very, very solid. Back then, I was still working at Virgin, because Virgin, the owner of Virgin came and told me, listen, okay, I understand you want to do whatever you want. That's an OC letter, go do whatever you want. But then I don't want you to leave. You stay with us because we value your expertise, we value your time, etc. We value what you're doing with your within the company. And it's very difficult for us to find an alternative at this stage. So stay with us, okay? And then... I think back then they maybe thought, you know, this guy is venturing, it's an experience, eventually he's going to lose his money and come back to us, yeah. I kept really, you know, excelling. And then then, you know, I mean, the CEO calling me, I don't take his calls. He tells me, yeah, you're not coming, we had the meeting. I'm like, I was busy, etc. So we had a conversation. He told me, like, you know, I lost control over you. I see you excelling. I see you reaching different levels. I don't really have control over you, and I can't blame you, but I don't feel comfortable as well, yeah? So this is when we ended the partnership, et cetera. And
employment,
then
not partnership. You're not a partner. Employment.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. For them, it's a kind of a partnership, you know? But for me, it was... You know, I mean, I didn't see that I had to really put in any time in it anymore or effort, because I didn't see it going anywhere. Whereby I've seen the difference of, you know, being on my own, etc., buying my freedom actually and doing the things I like. It was a game changer. And then as well, you know, alternatively, I was building another business, which is distribution, because also I felt that I put in so many years into this, so why just leaving it like that? So I opened up another company into distribution, and then I started selling all the majors. For example, I do sell all the big, you know, Toys R Us, Hamleys, Sharaf, Galeries Lafayette, Borders, you know, all the big chains. I do deal with them, I do sell them my products, whether it's in toys or stationery or gifting or etc. And that's been going on as well since 2014. And so basically that's what I've done. And then me and my partner have seen that we are doing so much money in the clubbing business, and then we have so much cash, and we don't really know what to do with this cash. Yeah, we opened up, we have now already a very good income. And then what we were doing is what everybody's doing, which is really wrong. It's like, okay, for example, you know, we're distributing dividends every month and we're living the lavishing life. I start, you know, like everybody else, start buying cars, Rolexes, APs, traveling the world, buying brand clothes, etc. And then spending. And then I realized, okay, you know, something is missing. And then what, you know? Then luckily my partner, he met... a guy who is the CEO of the company today. And then they decided to take this cash and then put it into a company to, and then building a structure, building a team, and then trying to use this cash to business develop and grow the company. And you know, and then the CEO really has done a great job. So basically what happened, they took the lead where they said, okay, we will be managing the hospitality business, because I didn't have any experience in the hospitality business. And then all my experience were based mainly in retail and distribution, etc. And then I became like a purely shareholder and a board member and a partner. However, it was like, for me, it became more as a passive income, because it was something that it's 100% managed by them, and I have an ownership in it. The CEO of this company, and we together at the beginning, you know, what really helped us is first the CEO did really a great job, and then my other partner as well. He's very, very strong into, he's like gifted, you know, in operations. He really knows how the business works, you know, the inside out of the business. Both of them helped a lot to push the business moving. And then I remember back then I helped in getting Blacktap, which is one of the brands.
Let's count it. So Sushi Samba, Mod 32, Dream, yeah. Drift, Azure Beach, and another 40, 50 venues.
Yeah, yeah, and then much more. And then, I mean, it's amazing. Even, you know, I wasn't even in my wildest dream, I've never ever thought I would reach this level ever. Like, you know, owning many different companies and being an owner and a shareholder in a company like Sunset Group today, one of the, I would say, top 10 in the world, yeah? And then soon we're gonna, and then what really makes me proud of the company is a lot of things. It's the experience, it's the reputation, is how good we are in executing and managing and launching, in getting awards by being the best working place in the UAE. And then also what makes me really proud and happy is that we are growing globally. So now we are everywhere. We are in the hotel business as well, not only in the restaurants, not only in clubs and lounge clubs. We are also in the hotel business. We launched our first one in Bodrum 2 years ago. It became a huge success.
It took
an award, number one on TripAdvisor. And now we have a series of 7, 8 already signed,
so
in the pipeline.
Already in France, Paris.
Now the next is Marbella. Okay. We have one signed in Spain, in Italy, and then, you know, the list will go on and on. And then we're growing as well globally everywhere. So we're going to be in Singapore. I think we already signed in Singapore, Sushi Samba. But also we're going to be everywhere. We already signed in Bali,
London.
We have
avenues. Like, how many avenues you have in total? Do you even know?
Are you counting? Because it's growing.
Stopped counting?
No, I mean, I know that we have roughly. Again, I'm not pretty sure because, you know, I mean, I think 50, 55, and I know that we have signed another 50. In the pipeline, and I know that we're in negotiation as we speak with more than 195 new project concepts. And then, you know, I mean, over time we became very picky, yeah, because we have a lot of people approaching us, etc. So we became very picky in whom we want to work, how we want to do things, what the concept we want to go for. Also, everything has changed, you know, from us chasing the location, then locations coming to us. So now, basically, anyone who's launching any hotel or any whatever mall, they come to us first and tell us, okay, you know what, you have the priority. This is the hotel. These are the location. You pick and choose whatever you see. And then, but everything takes time, yeah? So people, they look today, they just see you today,
greatness.
Yeah? But they don't know that when I first came in, you know, I had to share my accommodation, you know, and I had to struggle. And then, you know, when I moved into my first studio, which I was very proud and happy, I was sleeping on a mattress for 3 months. And then the fourth, I bought a TV. So I was like, oh, yeah, now mattress and TV, this is the life, you know? Yeah, so, yeah, it was quite an experience, really. Thinking about it, it's... It's so many hardships, so many hard work, so many, you know, like ups and downs. But yeah, the one thing I can say is, I mean, it's very important. Is always your mindset, yeah, and the hunger.
And listen carefully. There might be a sound calling you to go somewhere. Listen to this sound. So
yes,
I think that was
exactly. Yes. It's the I would call it. Like the intuition, it's really something. I mean, and it's always right, but most people, they don't really pay attention. It's always this voice in you that is really far, yeah, but it's telling you something. For example, you're going onto a project, there's something telling you, do it. And sometimes there's something telling you, don't do it. Yeah, they are really clear, but you have to pay attention to it. If you don't pay attention, you will not really recognize it, because it doesn't really come, like people think it's going to be something very loud and clear. Yeah, like clear vision, do it, don't do it. It's not like that. It's an intuition that you have to really be calm. You really have to be de-stress yourself, calm yourself. And then there is always a voice inside telling you if this is something you have to do, or this is something. Your body, I think, is intelligent enough to guide you. But most of the people, they do not really follow this. You know, they wait for signs, they wait, but you know, everything is in you. And then I'm someone who's really drawn a lot to science, human power. Like, I really love it. This is
self-development.
Something. I personally can't live without self-development and self-growth.
I mean, it's extremely inspiring to build such an empire in 7 years.
I would say, I mean, if I want to put it, I came here 2003. I really started being successful, I would say, 2007. But then the real kickoff was 2011.
So it's almost 11 years to be doing the Sunset Hospitality, which is mega. Your expansion is super inspiring. I am one of your customers. That's where I'm spending most of my money. But absolutely, it's wonderful places, venues, brands, even for all of my business lunches, dinners, whatever. It is the best places you guys have all over the city. Best location, best views. You've been doing an amazing job. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thank you for sharing your
beautiful story. That's another example from my home country. Like, it doesn't matter where you come from, what you will do, as long as you have the mindset, as long as you have the hunger, as long as you want it bad enough, eventually you're going to make it. Serge, thanks a lot for coming on the show. Thank you for watching this episode. See you on the next one.